Hi, Shabbat Shalom. It's Rabbi Egolf. Thank you for being patient and turning your browser or your iPod this way this week. We're going to talk a little about Ephron and Abraham this week and their business transaction that was mentioned in Torah portion Chaye Sarah. Shabbat Shalom. During this Torah portion, we deal with the characters of Ephron and Avraham for reasons that always intrigue me. These two characters in the Torah represent two very different relationships with God and how we approach those relationships. When Sarah dies, Abraham must go and negotiate for a place to bury her. He declares himself to be a ger v'toshav, a stranger and a resident. Oddly, Ephron and the Hittites who reside in Hebron, that's Hebron, don't view Abraham this way at all. In fact, to them, he has a very different status. They refer to him as a Nasi Elohim, literally as a prince or possibly minister of God. In this exchange between our patriarch and Ephron, we come to the negotiations for the cave of the Machpelah, and these negotiations are a little strange. Initially, Ephron offers Abraham the property, the cave, for free. Abraham is not so quick to accept this gift from his new friend Ephron, and we have to wonder why. On the one hand, Ephron's offer seems overly generous, but I often wonder if there was another reason for Abraham to reject it. Abraham ends up paying Ephron 400 shekels for this cave to bury Sarah. Now the question is, why did Abraham find it necessary to pay all of this money? And then there's the issue of Ephron accepting the 400 shekels. In fact, the cave and the amount paid when compared to that paid to redeem the field in Anatot by Jeremiah seems overly exorbitant. There is a commentary in the Talmud associated with Ephron that says, quote, "Wicked people promise much and do not even do a little." Babylonian Talmud, Baba Metzia, 87a. Ephron promised the field to Abraham for nothing, but somehow just couldn't resist taking the 400 shekels for the property. Such a magnanimous offer really amounts to nothing when Ephron takes this money. But I want to suggest a different slant on this offer and Abraham's insistence and then eventually paying for the cave. Abraham presents himself with an absolute humility. He makes no mention of his special covenant or promise from God. In fact, he does insist on paying for the land because of his definition of his status as a stranger and resident. However, Ephron makes this offer of a huge gift to Abraham. Does he offer it because he wants to be nice to a stranger? Or does he want to glean favor from the Nasi Elohim? Does he want to gain favor from Abraham, or even taking it a step further? Does Ephron want to, in some way, buy God's favor? At the end of this episode, we find Ephron's true nature. He basically saw Abraham as little more than a business opportunity. To truly see Abraham as part of God, he would have had to see beyond Abraham's self-description and ascribe to Abraham the godly traits of respect and generosity. He would have had to have refused the 400 shekels. We live in a world where people are often attempting to speak for God or gain the ability to speak for God to their religious advantage. But we must always ask ourselves how they might use such an advantage. Are they like Ephron, speaking in large and magnanimous terms about respecting all life, and do they include in that respect those who are already born, and seeing these children and all children cared for with proper health care, education, and opportunity? Or do they speak much and do little? I fear that we often have too many Ephrons running around and not enough Abrahams. I wish you a Shavuot Tov, a wonderful week. Shalom. Music you hear on this podcast is from magnatunes.com.
Yehi Ratzon, Shema Yisrael.